Bantam Doubleday Dell Audio Publishing presents Ride the River by Louis L'Amour. Chapter 1. When daylight crested Siler's Bald, I taken up my carpet bag and rifle and followed the middle prong toward Tuckalucky Cove. "Echo," Ma said, "if you be going to the settlements, you better lay down that rifle gun and set up a few nights with a needle. You take them Godey's ladies' books the pack peddler left with us and give them study. City folks dress a sight different than we uns, and you don't want to shame yourself. There was money coming to us, and I was to go fetch it home. Pa had wore hisself out scratching a living from a side hill farm, and a few months back he give up the fight and went west, as the saying was. We buried him yonder where the big oak stands and marked his place with letterin' on a stone. The boys were trapping beaver in the Shining Mountains far to the westward, and there was nobody to home but Regal and me, and Regal was laid up. He'd had a mite of a set-to with a cross bear who didn't recognize him for a sacket. There'd been a sight of John and Clon before Regal stretched him out, Regal using what he had to hand, a knife and a double-bit axe. Trouble was, Regal got himself chawed and clawed in the doing of it and was in no shape for travel. Me, I'd been hunting meat for the table since I was shorter than the rifle I carried, and the last few years I'd killed so much I was selling meat to the butcher. No sooner did I get a mite of money more than what was needed than I began dreaming over the fancy fixins in Godey's fashion magazine. When a girl gets to be 16, it's time she set her cap for a man, but I'd yet to see one for whom I'd fetch and carry. Like any girl, I'd done a sight of dreaming, but not about the boys along Fightin' Creek or the Middle Prong. My dreams were of something far off and fancy. Part of that was